Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and I do not usually do this, but I'm going to give you the title of my message before I begin, okay? And the title of my message this morning is History's Greatest Summit Meeting, or if we follow our theme for this week, History's Greatest Impact Meeting. And that's found in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, in the beginning, we find Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. We're not sure which one that was. There were a lot of Marys in the life of Jesus. But they were going to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you find out that as they were going, their big question is, how are we going to roll away that big stone? They got out there and they found out immediately that the stone had been rolled away. And praise God, it was not rolled away so he could get out. I mean, he could have gotten out with the stone there, okay? It was rolled out so we could see inside that it was empty. And so they meet with the angels, and the angels said to them, we know that you're seeking Christ who is crucified. He is not here. He is alive. He's resurrected from the grave. And then the angels told them, you go to his disciples and tell them to meet him in Galilee. Keep that in mind. As the ladies were going to tell the disciples, lo and behold, they met Jesus. And Jesus spoke to them and said to them, go tell my brethren that they meet me in Galilee. I'm going to be there. So there was the appointed meeting. Now look in your Bible, beginning with verse 16 in Matthew chapter 28. And I want us to notice four or five simple, real simple things. Number one, the great gathering. The great gathering. The Bible says here, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. The great gathering. Now my title, the world's greatest impact meeting, the world's greatest summit meeting. There's been a lot of summit meetings. For instance, in 1918, after World War I, leaders from all over the world gathered together, formed the League of Nations. And after that meeting, guaranteed us there will never be another war. There has not been a time since 1918 when there was not a war somewhere. In 1945, after World War II, again, leaders from all over the world gathered together and they formed the United Nations. And again, they assured us that's the end of wars. Obviously, those were rather failed summit meetings, amen? But notice this great gathering. It was not great because of the size of the meeting. We know for sure that the 11 disciples were there. If you happen to have a Scofield Bible, Dr. Scofield will tell you that he believes this is where the 500 were gathered together at one time. I do not know that. He did not know that. But it could have been. But it was not necessarily a great meeting because of the number of people that were there. But it was great because of who was there. God incarnated in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had lived a perfect life, died on Calvary's cross, had been buried and resurrected from the grave. He was there. And that made it a great meeting. By the way, he tells us Whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in their midst. Every meeting in church is great, amen, because he is here. So it was great because of who was there. It was great because of the purpose of the meeting. What was the purpose of this gathering? Why do you want to meet us in Galilee? The very last words that Jesus said before his death was, "It is finished. The debt has been paid. Salvation is a finished work. I have done everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved." Amen. Praise God, salvation is a finished work, amen. It's not what we do, it's what he has already done. Now, what's the purpose of this meeting? And this is what happened at that meeting. Jesus meets with his disciples and he says to them, "Now I've done everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved." Now, and this is exactly what happened. I'm committing the responsibility and the privilege of getting this message to the entire world into your hands. That was a great purpose. By the way, aren't we proud this morning that they did not fail? Even though they did not have all of the technology and all of the advancements that we have today, they got the job done. By the end of the first century, it could be said that the entire world has heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was great because of the purpose. But it was great because of what happened after the meeting. After the forming of the League of Nations, very little happened. To be honest with you, in my own thinking, everything the United Nations has done has been very little. But what happened after this meeting? Those disciples went out and they preached and they started churches and they baptized people and they taught them and they established schools and on and on and on. And the 2,000 years since then, as a result of the faithfulness of those early disciples, all over the world, great things are still happening. Already, millions of people are in heaven because of the obedience of the early disciples and the succeeding generation of disciples to what Jesus told them to do. Think about it. This morning, all over the world, there are literally millions and millions of churches. Can you imagine a city without a church? Are we not grateful for churches like Lancaster Baptist Church, where we can meet together and sing and praise God and worship him and glorify him? By the way, atheists don't start churches. Liberals don't start churches. They steal churches, but they don't start them. Not only that, think of all of the schools that have been started all over the world by Christian people. Again, atheists don't start schools. Liberals don't start schools. They steal them, but they don't start them. Orphanages, hospitals, women's rights. You could go on and on and on and talk about all of the great things that happened as a result of the faithfulness of those disciples at this great impact meeting. It was indeed a great meeting. Notice with me also in verse 18, a great proclamation. A great proclamation. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. By the way, that is a unique statement. Now, a lot of people have told us how great they are, okay? But bottom line is, all of them had failures and so forth. Not this one. Jesus said, all power, all authority. I have authority over nature. I have authority over demons. I have authority over mankind. I have all authority. And by the way, if Jesus had not made that great proclamation, verses 19 and 20 would have been a literal impossibility. But because of that great proclamation, all power is given unto me in heaven. I have all authority. Because of that, verses 18 and 19 are not only a possibility, they have been a reality. The great proclamation. Now I'm going to drop down to the bottom part of verse 20 for just a minute, and we'll come back to verse 19 and 20. But there's something else great here. There is a great promise. A great promise. Look at it. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. By the way, all these missionaries that were standing here on the platform a few minutes ago, and I can remember well when Virginia, Renee, and Tim and I went to Japan back in 1965. And I'm sure glad that Jesus did not say, now, Don, you go over to Japan and you do the best you can to win those Japanese to the Lord. My dear friend, the best Don says could do, or the best that any of these missionaries could do, would be a total failure. But thank God, when we are involved in fulfilling the Great Commission, we are working with omnipotence. Because he said, lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The great promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful promise that is. Now let's look at the great commandment. By the way, I believe from the depth of my heart, Dr. Chappell, that the meeting this week is the most important meeting going on anywhere in the world. We're not just determining what a nation is going to be. We are determining what eternity is going to be. So look very closely, if you would, at the Great Commission. Verse 19. Now remember, this is as much for Lancaster Baptist Church in 2020 as it was for those early disciples in the first century. We have as much responsibility today as they had in their day. What is the Great Commission? What is the Lord telling us to do? Look at it, if you would. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Nations. And the word comes from the word ethnos, which means ethnic group. Jesus did not want to leave anybody out. Go to every ethnic group in the world. Go ye therefore and teach. The word teach here literally means to make disciples. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is, number one, to make disciples. How do you make disciples? You began by winning people to the Lord. Dr. C.C. Ryrie years ago wrote a book called Balancing the Christian Life. And in that book, he mentions in the preface that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And by the way, if you've ever tried to do that, that's not easy. Amen. But listen to it. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. What's the main thing? The preaching of the gospel. And if we're not careful, we'll get so busy in ministry that we forget the main ministry. The main ministry is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only the preaching of the gospel, but he said baptizing them. And every once in a while somebody will say, well, why do you Baptists make such a big deal about baptism? Because Jesus did. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. They got baptized. Jesus got baptized. All of his disciples got baptized. The Philippian jailer got saved. He got baptized that night. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved. He said, what does forbid me to be baptized? And he baptized him. Okay. Now, thank God baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. You do not have to be baptized in order to be saved. But you have to be baptized to be an obedient Christian. Somebody said to me one time, I don't really have to be baptized. The thief on the cross, he was not baptized. And I said to him, are you a thief? Are you on the cross? No, then you ought to be baptized, okay? So the first thing was to win souls. Hey, we can't get away from that, Pastor. Thank God. Yesterday, people went all out all over this valley telling people about Jesus Christ. And that's our job. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, he said, now after you get people saved, and you baptize them, and you disciple them, then you teach them to do all of the things that I have taught you to do. You know, thank God our missionaries are going out all over the world, and we've heard them, Chile, Nicaragua, and so forth. And they're getting people saved, and they're baptizing people. And they're teaching them, and then they're urging them to go to other cities and start churches and do the same thing. And not only that, they're sending missionaries all over the world, not just from American churches, but from churches all over the world. Missionaries are being sent. Thank God it's working, amen? I mean, what we are involved in is not hypothetical. It's not something that ought to be done. Thank God, it is something that's being done. The Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Thank God the gospel has come down to us. You remember what Paul taught Timothy. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And for over 2,000 years, it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. Now, in conclusion, and don't get too excited. Sometimes conclusions are long. But in conclusion, What can we as Lancaster Baptist Church do to be sure that we do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission in this generation? Now, I used to make the statement, some can go, some can pray, some can give. I've changed my thinking altogether. It's not a matter of some. Every born-again child of God is a disciple. So we can all go and we can all pray and we can all give. And let's look at that just a minute. Number one, all of us must go. All of us must go. I don't mean we all have to go to some foreign country. It may mean that you need to go next to the next room and try to win some of your loved ones that are not saved to the Lord. It may mean that you need to go across the street and tell your neighbor about Jesus. It may mean that you need to go across town. Or it well could be with many of you that you need to go to some of the great unevangelized fields of the world and preach the gospel. Everybody ought to go. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every once in a while I meet people who say, "You know, my biggest problem is I don't understand the Bible." Let's see if you can misunderstand Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You'd have to be real dumb to misunderstand that, amen. You know what that means? That means that every one of us are to be going. Every one of us. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses in me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. By the way, the uttermost parts of the earth. And after he said that, he ascended up into heaven. That's his last great statement to us. Go you. Go you. We all can go. We all can pray. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, as believers, we are a royal priesthood. Royal will mean we're part of the family. We can go to God at any time, any place, and pour out our petitions to him. We have not a high priest that we cannot be reached with the feelings of our infirmities. But is in all manners tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and help in the time of need. We can all pray. You can do more after you pray, but you cannot do more before you pray than to pray. So we can all go. We can all pray. And thank God we can all give. In speaking about missionary giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." You know what he's saying? Every member of Lancaster Baptist Church ought to give something to missions every week above their tithe and offering. Now, ladies, don't get too excited at the word "every man." He's not speaking of gender there, okay? And it means every man and every woman and every boy and every girl ought to give something every week. In other words, every member of Lancaster Baptist Church ought to fill out one of these cards. And you ought to make a commitment to tithe, and you ought to make a commitment to give to missions, and we ought to make a commitment for Gideons and so forth. Everyone, everyone. Years ago, I made a horrible mistake. I made a lot of mistakes. But trying to get ladies to get involved in giving, I said to them, now my wife does not work. That was a bad mistake, okay. What I should have said, my wife does not work outside of the home, okay. And so I got a lot of preaching that day after I got home, okay. And by the way, every lady ought to make their own commitment. Every person, not talking about gender, every mankind, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. Not according as he can figure out from his budget. Hey, by the way, let's testify today. Has God been good to us during this time? Amen. Has God been faithful to us? Then isn't it time we be faithful to him? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You've seen some commitments already. You've seen some presentations. You saw the one in Nicaragua today. Would that not touch the heart of anybody? The pastor called him and said, it's dangerous. Things are bad. Things are happening. You need to come home. Brother Patel, I can't come home. The people need me. More than his safety, the needs of the people he's ministering to. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Let's let God get a hold of our hearts this week. Every man according as he purposeth, not grudge or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Lancaster Baptist Church, this is a great impact meeting. Souls are in the balance all over the world. And your part does make a difference.